Welcome to Sex with Simmery. Frank, occasionally explicit edutainment on the most important topic of all. Sex with Simmery is not intended for children and is not safe for work unless your boss is particularly awesome. See more at sexwithsimmery.com.
Welcome to Sex with Simmery. This is Dr. Simmery, and I am ecstatic to introduce you today to Martin Sismar, who is the arts and culture editor at the Willamette Week. And he wrote a very, very interesting letter this week to the Boy Scouts of America, and we're going to talk about that letter. So welcome, Martin.
Hi, good to be here.
So roughly speaking, this letter that is generating all this interest, what was it essentially about? What did you tell the Boy Scouts?
I returned my Eagle Scout badge. So I got my Eagle Scout award back in 1998 when I was 17. And, you know, I've had it around since. I haven't, you know, been active in scouting since I was maybe like 20 or 21. But, you know, I've had it and I've always been proud to have it. But last week they reaffirmed their ban on gay scouts and gay adult leaders. And, you know, I just didn't want to have the badge as long as they were doing that. So I wrote them a letter and I sent it back.
And I have to tell you, I am a big fan of it. And everybody on the Sex with Timmery page has been ecstatic about it. So actually, we want to thank you for your brave move there, because that could not have been easy, was it?
You know, I'm actually embarrassed that it was kind of hard in a way, because, you know, it's a badge that you got as a Boy Scout for, you know, making fires and, you know, camping and doing all kinds of other things like that, learning CPR. I mean, it's really not the sort of thing that, you know, you should take too seriously in this world as a grown up, as an adult. You see things and you know people who've gone through so much more and done so much more, and maybe they get a badge for it, maybe they don't. So it's not something that, you know, I felt I should take too seriously, but I am embarrassed to say that it was kind of, you know, I mean, I have so many good memories from it, and I was really into the Boy Scouts. I really was a very active scout. So it was something that was like a really big part of my life for a long time. So it was a big deal to me. And as I said, though, I feel kind of embarrassed that it was, but it wasn't easy. But it shouldn't be hard, you know.
So
kind of how I feel about it.
How long does it take on average for someone to become an Eagle Scout? What kind of time investment does somebody put in for that?
Well, you can start Boy Scouts when you're 11, and most people don't get their Eagle before they're like 15. So sometime between 15 and 17. It took me, you know, 7 years, right up until I was 18, basically. I started Scouts like 2 weeks after my 11th birthday, and I didn't get my Eagle until like 2 weeks before my 18th birthday, which is the deadline. So it took me basically 7 years. For some scouts, maybe it's like 5 years, but you know, they're important formative years in your life. So they're years where things feel really important.
And 5 years in the duration of a kid's life
is huge.
I mean, that's like a third of your life at that point. And I mean, that's how long people are in like grad school, and that seems to feel,
you know,
like
it's
forever.
It's funny, like, so, you know, I went to college and did all that stuff. And, you know, as you get older, you have bigger milestones in your life. But up till that point in my life, and I said this in the letter, that was the biggest day of my life when I got that. You know, since then I've had bigger. But up until that point, that was a huge day for me. So it retains that importance.
So I want to talk a little bit about the incident specifically that precipitated your letter. So there was a 2-year-long review process that was started in 2010 by the Boy Scouts of America, where they put together a panel of 11 people, whom they have yet to name specifically, and they affirmed that you're not allowed to be involved in the Scouts if you are gay and you're either a scout or even a leader or even a den mother, any of those sort of things. So, what did you think when you heard that come out?
Well, you know, I was a scout, and I was active when the Supreme Court case happened a decade ago. So, I mean, I remember from the beginning. I wasn't aware of the court case, really, I don't think, until the decision happened. But I mean, the Supreme Court said that the Boy Scouts could basically select who they wanted to be members and who they didn't want to be members. That's the Supreme Court, that's their decision. But that doesn't mean that the organization has to use that power in such a horrible way. And so, you know, it's something that I remembered and have kind of followed on and off for a decade. And I obviously, nobody had any idea they were having this secret committee review this. And then I thought the timing with the Free report coming out, the Penn State report coming out, that maybe they, I don't know if they were silly enough to think that Jerry Sandusky had anything to do with, I mean, like the idea that some people actually think that, you know, gay people and pedophiles have anything to do with each other, which obviously they don't. And it's ridiculous. And I didn't even mention that in the letter because I didn't want, you know, that to be something that anybody should even take seriously. But I wonder whether this secret committee that met, and if they tried to hand this down then or what it was, but just hearing that the secret committee did this and that, you know, they weren't even going to let their board vote on it because they have some big corporate type people on the board who don't support this and who couldn't support this because, you know, they represent major corporations that could be facing a serious backlash. And instead, they had this secret committee review this, I guess, in whatever way that they reviewed it. And they're not telling us who or how or what happened. But then, you know, they come back and they hand this down a week after the whole Jerry Sandusky thing. And at that point, I just knew that I couldn't abide it. I thought about it for a long time. But at that point, I was like, you know what? I need to kind of make a statement and I'm just going to send it back. And then I just posted it on my Facebook and a lot of people shared it.
I think it's a phenomenal reaction because, I mean, when the Supreme Court did come down with the decision, I mean, I did have to nod and go, well, I suppose, yeah, a private group can say whoever they want can be in their private club. That is absolutely true. But then therefore, we all then have the option how we're going to react to that private club. And we don't necessarily have to like support them anymore. And it's unfortunate because there are a lot of good things that can come from the Boy Scouts, although there, I think, are more options for kids today than there would have been 10, 15 years ago if they want to get involved in youth activities now. Do you have?
Well, I'd love to make a couple points on that because there are a few things. First of all, the Boy Scouts do get a lot of public support. So while, you know, I actually have a law degree. I've never practiced law, but like the court case aspect of it is an interesting thing to me. But I do think this idea that they're a private club is important. But at the same time, they do meet in elementary schools. They're allowed to go into elementary schools and recruit kids. They're allowed they're allowed to march in public parades. They're allowed to use a lot of things in our society. They use parks for campouts. They get reduced rates often at state or national parks. So, I mean, they are a private club, but they're a private club that does avail themselves of a lot of benefits of being a semi-public type organization. So they do get they get money from our tax dollars. It does get filtered to them. It's not like the Scouts are as independent as I think they might sometimes like to lead it to believe. And for most troops probably do meet in churches, but there are a lot of troops that also meet in public spaces. And so pressure can be put on them. They can be stopped in this because, you know, they're not this independent club that doesn't take anything from anyone. So I wanted to make that point because I think I'm kind of with you. It's like, well, yeah, private club. But at the same time, this is a private club that really gets a lot of advantages from its good name in the public sphere.
And you bring up the also very interesting point that some of them meet in churches. Now, when they came out with this reaffirmation of their stance, they didn't use any religious terminology that I could find. The primary reason was that the support from the parents for this policy was why they decided this. So I'm very curious about, is the Boy Scouts an organization where you feel there's a religious influence normally? Is that a facet of it? Is that part of its character?
Well, the great thing about scouting is that every troop has its own character. So yes, there are definitely Boy Scout troops that are Bible studies with uniforms. I mean, that happens. But there are also troops that are Sierra clubs with uniforms. They're little mini Sierra clubs. I mean, you see awesome. Both of those. You have the full gamut of American society, or at least traditionally you did, represented in Scouts. And, you know, this goes back to something you mentioned earlier. Scouting is an organization that was founded about 100 years ago and that really took off quickly and really had its zenith back in kind of the Norman Rockwell version of America. And it is an organization that has struggled to kind of find its place in the modern world. And rather than bravely embrace this and look forward and say, you know what, let's get kids interested in the outdoors, let's teach them to recycle, let's do all these things, they've kind of backed themselves into this corner where they're catering to the most conservative aspects of our society, and they're kind of allowing themselves to be pigeonholed into something that scouting wasn't when it was like the default activity for young men in America. I mean, there was that time when, you know, one out of every two boys was a Boy Scout. And it's not that way anymore. And, you know, the way to use scouting to impart those values, I don't think, is to kind of retreat back into this kind of conservative mindset. It's to embrace the diversity of it and to have different troops that are doing different things. Have troops, you know, of parents dropping their kids off in a Volvo and, you know, loading them up for a sailing trip. Have kids who, you know, are going on a hunting trip. I mean, scouting can be this big, wide thing that you have so many different people. And the great thing about it is that it gets kids to meet other kids. So, I mean, I know the most conservative people I know are probably from scouting, and the most liberal people I know, some of them are from scouting. I mean, it's really, when it works, when it does that right, it brings people together in a way that's really cool. It brings kids together to see some of the best parts of our country. And, you know, this decision just flies in the face of that. And I think that's why it's so disappointing to me.
Now, I'm not sure if you're familiar with the Girl Scouts, but that organization has always been quite different when it comes to issues of diversity. They've been inclusive towards LGBT rights for as long as those sort of things have been in common conversation, and recently affirmed that trans girls can be Girl Scouts. So what do you think accounts for this wildly difference?
Scouts Canada does the same thing.
Oh, that's fascinating.
You know, Scouts Canada does the same thing. So in Scouts Canada, you know, it's boys and girls, gay, lesbian, it doesn't matter. So in England, I think they have the same policy. Around the world, you see that these policies vary wildly. And obviously, you know, the Girl Scouts are still able to do their thing. They're still able to operate their program having openly gay or lesbian leaders. So, I mean, for the Boy Scouts, I think that some of the leadership is really aligning itself with this kind of conservative element of our society in a way that is totally unnecessary. But they look at it and they worry about, you know, a mass defection from churches that are very hierarchical and that have a mass membership. I think they worry that those people could hand something down. And Girl Scouts, I think they tend to meet more in schools than Boy Scouts do, and they tend to just be a much more kind of spread out. Their troops are usually smaller. I mean, you can have in one town of 15,000 people, you might have two or three different Girl Scout troops, and you probably only have one Boy Scout troop. So the way that they're, I mean, this, it's kind of boring, but what this really has to do with is who's paying membership dues that are supporting the people in Texas, and what the people in Texas think they need to do to keep those people happy. And the Girl Scouts know better, and the Boy Scouts are still scared to embrace the future.
And the Girl Scouts also have the cookies.
They do have those cookies, which, you know, Boy Scouts have popcorn, but nobody cares about Boy Scout popcorn. They love Girl Scout cookies.
Popcorn does not taste like Samoas. That's silliness. Yeah, we can hold the do-si-dos over your head until you finally come along to our side. And you're certainly not the only one who has come to this place where, even despite your years of investment in the organization and your belief in its potential for great good, like there is a small tide of people who are sending their Eagle Scout badges back. Have you heard of any of the other people that have done that recently?
Well, you know, I got like 150 new Facebook friends as a result of this, and the response has been so humbling and just crazy, and it's been so positive. And as I've seen this, people have been sharing things, and I think there was somebody who actually did it last week and wrote a letter like a day or two before mine that I had not seen. And then since that, I've heard from two or three other people who have done it, and then I've seen these photos, and there's a Boing Boing page, I guess that would be a blog post, that has different letters collected. So yeah, I mean, I'm seeing this now, and it's, when I did it, I'd heard of people doing it in the past, but I hadn't seen it done online. I wasn't aware that it was part of any of that. But now that I did it and it got shared around, but now I'm seeing it, and it's really cool to see so many people that want to use this to the symbol that it has for good, you know, because it's a symbol, it's a badge. And, you know, when you can use that to kind of send a message, I think it's really exciting for me to see people doing that. I think it's really cool.
And we got a message earlier today from somebody who was also an Eagle Scout, and he has not written a public letter and has not sent back his badge yet specifically, but has said that he's been writing letters to the Boy Scout organization for years now about this and has never heard a reply. But he does, however, still regularly get requests for money. So there's clearly some sort of, there are different departments, obviously, to which they're not communicating to each other. Exactly. But like, that struck me quite hard as an organization that's not being terribly responsive about this whole thing. But maybe, as you mentioned, they're being responsive to specific people.
They are. I think Scout executives are like any other kind of executive. I mean, they wear the Scout uniform and they say the Scout oath and law. But the people in Texas are no different than any other corporate bosses. And their interest is in keeping the donations flowing, keeping the general membership fairly happy, and not in rocking the boat, and not in making the sort of principal stands that people expect from the Boy Scouts. And that's why I think it's up to the members and the former members to step up and say, you know what? No, we are not going to stand for this. And I think that's what I hope people will do, because, as I said, the secret committee and all that, it just kind of flies in the face of what people expect from the Boy Scouts, or what I hope they expect from the Boy Scouts. Maybe at this point it's getting to a point where people don't expect Boy Scouts to stand up and do the right thing, but I still do. And I wish the people that, you know, that had the power down in Texas would look at this and show the leadership that I think they should.
I want to ask a little bit more specifically about the application of this ban, because clearly people have been gay in the Scouts. Like, there have clearly been gay Scout leaders, there have been gay den mothers, there have been gay Scouts. When you were a member, like, how did sexual orientation actually matter? Did it ever come up? What did it do to the interaction of Scouts?
That's the most ridiculous thing about the whole thing. I have no memories that are in any way sexual from anything involving Boy Scouts at all, sexuality or sexual. Like, Boy Scouts, I think when done right, is the least sexy and least sexually aware thing ever. I mean, it's about camping and hiking and hanging out and talking and learning CPR and swimming and sailing and skiing. It's not about sexuality. So, I mean, there were a lot of Scouts that I knew who it turns out were gay. I didn't know at the time, because it's just something that wasn't really talked about. And I'm sure that if I'd asked about it, I probably would have been told, but it really wasn't what we were there for. I mean, sexuality and politics are two things that Boy Scouts really should have nothing to do with. And so, yeah, I know a lot of people now who I know from Scouting who are gay and who were gay when I knew them. And it was never an issue. It wasn't really the sort of thing that we would ever address. You know, it just wasn't what it was about.
So then, I mean, this does go back to what you were talking about earlier with, and perhaps this is sort of a fascinating serendipity around the Free Report and Sandusky, but that perhaps this entire thing is based on that very archaic and totally not scientific misunderstanding that pedophilia and homosexuality are entirely separate orientations. And I'm really fearful that this is like the dumbest, just confusion. All these people just need to be sat down and have like a PowerPoint lecture on like the basis of sexual orientation.
It's hard for me to even think of how to make that playing the statement, because you know, in order to argue against something, you have to say it first. Mm-hmm. And I don't even like to say it because it's so utterly ridiculous to think that pedophilia and being gay have anything to do with each other. They have nothing to do with each other. And Jerry Sandusky should show that as well as anybody. I mean, Jerry Sandusky wasn't gay. I mean, people should look at this and have a realistic understanding of it. But it's hard to make that point, I guess, to people who, you know, choose to live in as much of a bubble as they can, which, you know, there are a lot of people who, you know, I'm from a small town in Ohio, but I'm from a small town that's surrounded by bigger towns. So, you know, I kind of see this both ways. And there are some people that really want to just kind of blockade themselves off from the world and from the changes in the world and from open-mindedness. I mean, there are people who it's not even that they're not open-minded, it's that they don't want to be open-minded. They're comfortable being backed away. And so for those people, it's really hard for me to figure out how to argue to them other than to just say, you know what, it's not right and you don't have the right to do that. You need to respect other people. And so that's what it comes down to me, is that to even try to make the point to them, I'd have to act like it's something that belongs or that deserves to be taken seriously. Whereas to me, I look at it and just think, you know what, whatever you think about any of that stuff doesn't matter. You know, you need to honor people and give them their rights, and you need to try to be open-minded and embrace them for what they believe and who they are.
Now I'm going to ask a question that you may not know the answer to, and it's also a little bit could be touchy, but still on the pedophilia topic. I had a comment from a former scout today who's talking about how it's fascinating that they're so on top of this controversy and being so proactive to whatever it is that they're doing, but alleged that they have been covering up sex abuse scandals that are actually happening, that there have been cases of sexual assault that the organization has been keeping sort of out of the spotlight. Do you know anything about that? Are you familiar with that?
I know nothing about that, but okay. If they did, I hope they have good lawyers, because I mean, maybe that is part of this. Who knows if this is kind of a distraction to get people talking about something and let this, you know, go by before, you know, we find out that people at the top did something. I mean, we've learned through the Sandusky thing, I think, that institutions have really failed on this issue for a long time.
We can think of a lot of examples.
It's not just Penn State.
Yeah.
What?
I'm thinking immediately of several examples. I mean, aside from churches that have, you know, nearly gone bankrupt in paying off victims, and thinking of the U.S. military right now is actually undergoing a great deal of scrutiny because of the intense amount of sexual assault that's been happening to trainees and to soldiers, perpetuated by their fellow soldiers, and it's been for so long. The victims were told to be quiet and basically forced to be silent about the whole thing under the guise of protecting the organization overall.
Yeah, I mean, our institutions have just done a really bad job of this for a long time, and I don't think Penn State is the first or last that we're going to see just this systematic failure and just cultural failure that put kids in a terrible place. And I don't know what happened with that in the Boy Scouts. I mean, I don't know of anything myself, but, you know, I think there are probably bodies buried in every organization that size. And, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, that's okay. You don't have to be the expert on the thing that hasn't been uncovered yet.
Yeah.
So what do you think going forward is are the best bets for somebody who's a kid now who wants to get involved in this kind of stuff. They want to learn about the outdoors, and they want to be active, and they want to meet other kids. Like, what do you think are good options instead of this particular organization?
You know, that's a tough question. And I think it probably is different for every kid, but you know, if you're from the suburbs or the city, you know, maybe go hang out with 4-H, which is a lot more open-minded, and you will meet kids that are totally unlike kids from where you're from. And if you're from the country, you know, maybe a Boys and Girls Club would give you a chance to meet kids from that have a totally different background and a different way of life. And obviously, there's so many opportunities for people to get into the outdoors now. It's a lot easier. Information is so much more widely available than it was. You know, when I was a kid, it was like, oh, you have to buy a guidebook and all this stuff. I mean, you can find the best hikes near you with a computer now in 10 seconds. So I think it's just trying to meet people who are from a different background than yourself through whatever organization is different than, you know, not the same thing that all the kids in your neighborhood are doing, the things that 15 or 20 miles away the kids are doing. Hang out with them. And I think that's part of it. And then I think the rest of it is just, you know, I mean, obviously, like the Sierra Club, or there are different outdoors clubs in every city across the country. And, you know, they do hikes, and you can bring kids along, and parents can go. And I mean, so there's so much stuff like that, I think, that does it. I mean, I just say, like, you know, if you're a parent, get your kids outside. That's so important. Just get your kids outside and, you know, make friends with other kids who are outside. And, you know, organizations are great, but, you know, if the organizations are failing us, I think, there's a lot of empowering things out there that parents can do.
So going forward, what is best case scenario for the Boy Scouts from here on out?
The new guy comes in and says, they have a new chief scout executive that's starting at the end of next month. If he comes in and says, you know what, we'll actually go ahead and give this a real review, and they have a real committee look at it and realize that what the outgoing scout executive did was just terrible and wrong, and review it and say, you know what, we're going to no longer have a national policy on this. We're going to let every individual troop come up with their own policy, and maybe that's not the best way, but maybe that's a step towards getting there, so that at least you can get diversity back into the program and let people stop being scared. And then, you know, hopefully then Scouts can actually kind of serve its mission of modeling great values for kids and, you know, giving them an opportunity to go do fun stuff.
That's a really fascinating distinction. I did not expect you to go there to the individual clubs can decide. Like, that is not what popped into my head. Like, I never even thought about that as an option. Do you think that, for the most part, individual clubs would become more inclusive?
I think, you know, that's what I said at the beginning. There's so much diversity between them. And I mean, I think that parents tend to seek out scout troops for their kids that model their own values. And that's good and that's bad. But when you make it so that a certain segment of the population cannot participate in that because their values cannot be modeled, that is a huge problem. So, I mean, I want everybody to end up being really, like, I don't want anybody to think anything bad of gay people. But I think that sometimes maybe the more measured approach is to let certain troops have their own policy. And if that troop wants to be discriminatory, that's not awesome. That's really not awesome. But at the same time, so long as there's another troop that does, and then, you know, at a jamboree or a camperee, those two troops meet, and the conservative troop maybe sees the other kids and hangs out with them and realizes, oh, hey, this isn't so scary after all. My parents might be wrong. Maybe I should stop listening to what they're saying. Maybe I should stop listening to Fox News, you know, and then it opens their mind. But I think I would support a policy of having the individual troops make their own policy, so that, you know, the conversation can get restarted. And then hopefully eventually you get to a point where, you know, people, that scouts are welcome in any troop, and that it's not okay to tell any kid that he's not allowed in a troop. I mean, that is what I would really like. But I think in the short term, allowing the individual troops to set their own policy would be a good step forward.
I think it sounds like a very measured, reasonable approach. I hope that you are a mind reader who can see the future. That is my fervent hope. So, Martin, do you have anything else you want to add about this? About anything else you want to talk about that's going on with you?
No, I think I've covered all of it. I it's weird. I hadn't spent a lot of time thinking about this or talking about it until this week when I just kind of decided to do it. And then all weekend, I was listening through my window. We were getting ready to go out Saturday night, and my next door neighbors were having a debate about this. And this is not my next door neighbors that I know. I know the neighbors on the other side. I don't know these people at all. I've never really talked to these people, but they were having this big debate about gays and scouting. And I was like, oh, wow, it's weird because it's not something I'd really thought or talked about a lot recently.
Well, it certainly is coming to some kind of crazy head. There's a lot going on between Chick-fil-A and Frank Ocean coming out and just like all this confluence of factors where it's we're finding acceptance in unexpected places and resistance in spots that really shouldn't be having such a big problem. So you're definitely part of something pretty crazy right now. So enjoy all those new Facebook friends.
I hope so.
All right. Well, this has been a very enjoyable conversation. Thank you very much to Martin Sismar, who just sent back his Eagle Scout medal to the Boy Scouts in a protest of their reaffirmation of their discriminatory membership policy against gay scouts. So thank you again, Martin. And thank you, everyone, for listening. Everyone, have a good day. Thank you for listening to Sex with Timory. Please check out more from sexwithtimory.com, where Monday through Friday there's new content, including polls, weekly sex columns, and Friday sex links. And if you have any questions, comments, or violent reactions, please email them to sexwithtimory@gmail.com. That's sexwithtimare@gmail.com. And thank you.